What's good? We're back. Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast. I am the one and only Paul Pickett, a.k.a. The Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, we're going to react to The Five, reacting to AOC's spectacular documentary, Failure. But before we do that, let's give you a word from PromoPalace.com.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard the beautiful lady. If you need online marketing promotions, check us out. One-stop shop for your music, product, brand, or service, promopalace.biz. We also have the new little apparel on there as well. Go to promopalace.biz. Click on merchandise. We got the t-shirts for all you dog lovers and cat lovers with the hoodies and much, much more. And we got an Etsy shop as well, etsy.com/shop/newletterdesign. That's etsy.com/shop/newletterdesign. All right, so let's get into it.
Socialist, a social media sensation, and firebrand progressive lawmaker, but AOC's bid to become a movie star ending in a spectacular failure. Her new climate change documentary called To the End, bombing at theaters. The film making only $80 per theater and raking in less than $10,000 during its opening weekend.
Let me stop real quick. Only $80 per theater. That's not nothing. That's unsigned musicians that can make like have 80 people come through the door at $10-$20 a pop and make $800 to $1,600 a venue that only holds about 200 people. But let's keep it moving.
Maybe it's because it's so cringeworthy.
Some of us have to actually live the future that you all are setting on fire.
We're going to make historic investments and we'll seize the opportunity.
We got the candidate that was nominated to come to us.
We're either going to go out in a blaze of glory or we're going to win what we want.
America has faced threats before and come out stronger.
All right, well, AOC is one to get a lot of attention whenever she speaks about anything. And yet, this is when the people would actually come out and affirm or confirm whatever it is she's doing. Why did she flop, Greg?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, $80 per theater. I mean, I made $80 in a theater, and there wasn't even a movie playing.
Wow. What do you mean?
I don't know. You know, it's no surprise. Who would go see a movie that's the opposite of entertaining? There's nothing entertaining about that.
I know, right?
Michael Moore's colonoscopy is more entertaining than that because there's probably more twists. But it does show you how great it is to be a progressive in a liberal biased culture. She really doesn't do her job, right? She makes movies. She goes to galas. She sits for glossy butt-kissing interviews in GQ and other women's mags. Once you get over the fact that you're hollow inside, it's not a bad life.
All right, Dana.
Well, I think that I read a little bit of the New York Times review. And Teo, he thinks that the hopelessness of the movie makes it a hard sell for people who would go see the movie and also for voters to change their minds about climate change. But they said for AOC that she offers the best on-screen antidote to despair because she's funny. A canny political strategy, but they don't like it if conservatives are funny. Yeah. Right? It's only
that's
helpful
mean.
If they're.
She's not even funny.
That's mean. You're right. mean. You're being mean.
But I'm fascinated. They thought there was an audience for this outside of like Earth Justice or the Justice Democrats, because who really wanted to go and see this thing? And then tomorrow you'll have an article that we'll have to talk about, which is that kids all over America are having nightmares about climate change. Well, no wonder.
Mm.
Jessica, what about the fact that the climate activists are very much, I mean, they're very much enthused about what they do, and, you know, they do all kinds of things to get attention. I mean, they're willing to get run over on highways and get their skin glued to in museums. Why aren't they at least showing a, watching a movie?
They're cheap.
People don't go to the theater anymore. I don't want to condemn them. I mean, they do for, like, a Top Gun, or the Marvel movies are really successful, but in the certainly the post-COVID era, everyone wants to watch everything at home, especially something that's like that. You know, she had a Netflix documentary 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, right after she won, with some other progressives, called Knock Down the House. And I think that was really highly viewed, because people could just sit around and watch it. You want to turn it off because you want to grab dinner, come back, turn it back on. But the most successful climate documentary was Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, and it only made $24 million. This is not
the best,
like,
was
a big,
it was
fun
released
one.
On the coldest day of the year. I'll never forget
Inconvenient
it.
Inconvenient Truth was?
My favorite day as a press secretary.
All right, Jesse, would you go to this movie?
Would I go to it? No. Have I seen it? No. Will I talk about it?
Yes.
So, as a product in the marketplace, AOC, no one wants to buy that.
Yeah.
So this is what politicians often get confused about. Just because you're popular in politics doesn't mean you're popular anywhere else. In fact, usually people that can't do anything anywhere else go into politics to succeed. And she found out that way, the hard way. What's fraudulent about this is because she's trying to sell herself as some hiker. Where did she grow up again? Westchester?
Westchester.
She represents Queens.
They're a trail.
And she wears plaid. And then she has little ski things with, like, a 60-pound backpack. Like, she does that. I have never seen, and she showcases her whole life on social media. You can never see her in private. Everything is on social media. I've never seen her hike before. But the one time she does a documentary about the environment, she's out
hiker.
There doing the Appalachian Trail. I'm not buying it.
All right, so what's my take? Yes, when you go want to watch it. Nobody really wants to go to the movie theater to watch a documentary. You watch those at home. And I'm pretty sure the numbers of streams on the documentary probably ain't that great either. Another thing is she doesn't really got the impact over her fans on social media that we would have believed. You know, she doesn't really got the feminists behind her. She doesn't really got all these people following her behind her, because she's got a nice amount of followers. Another thing is, I was watching yesterday a documentary with Jeff Bridges called Living in the Future's Past. And when I thought I was going to watch it, I thought it was going to be like some climate change activists and stuff like that. And it really wasn't. It was very interesting. They talked about a lot of things that I'm into, like natural law, laws of nature. But when they got into the climate change thing, they talked about, like, part of the reason that we went to coal and oil and these other sources of what they called fossil sunlight, as they were naming them, is because we were using so much wood. We had to cut down so many trees and use so much wood. And that's the thing people felt. That's the part people fail to realize, is that we would have to probably go back to cutting down and using a bunch of wood to stay warmer. Because you're talking about, like, this is the thing with this whole going solar and wind. You have to make changes across the board with a whole civilization. And every civilization would have to do this. You'd have to make changes across the board with everything that deals with transportation, aircrafts, boats, everything. Everything that deals with any form of transportation, you would have to make changes across the board, and it would have to work efficiently. You can't have hiccups. You know, like, yeah, cars break down, but you know, they don't break down once you buy them, unless you buy them used and you got screwed over. Planes aren't just breaking down every day. You know, boats and ships, they don't just break down every day. These things run pretty efficient. You know, so yeah, people fail to realize and bring up the point that the reason we went into using coal and oil and gasoline and these other forms of energy is because we were using so much wood. We were cutting down so many trees and burning so much wood, which that's part of messing up the environment, is cutting down too many trees. Right, Greta Thunberg? So they try to create a balance of not just always using wood, and try to use coal and kerosene and gas, these other forms of energy. And in this video, this documentary also broke down things that I never really think about. This, everything in life is based around energy. Animals are expanding energy to hunt. And by the time they do capture something and eat it, all they're doing is replacing the energy that they used. People, we use a ton of energy. That's why we're eating three meals a day. Some people four. That's why you're eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You know? And so, like, these climate change activists, they could sit there and shout to the rooftops the things they shout, but they don't have a real efficient plan in place. And like the documentary was saying, there's no machine that could put all this oil stuff back into the ground, put all this stuff back to where it was at. We'll be long gone and dead, and the planet will be done and over with before we figure that one out. You know, so we're naive. We're not realistic with the thought process. Like, you can't just get rid of all the oil and the coal. We probably got to look at it as the same sense of why we started using oil and coal and stuff in the first place, because we were using too much wood. So maybe we just need to make solar and wind just another option and balance it out. We're only using so much wood for heating, so much kerosene for heating and gas for heating, so much wind and solar for heating. And I don't even know how like heating process is going to work with wind and solar. Like, I don't know how that would work about heating my apartment, which, you know, has to have a good source of heat, because I'm in an old brick apartment. And I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where it gets low as 14 degrees, you know, just this week. You know? And another thing is we also, like, this video was talking about how they take old historical weather issues that we've had and weather situations that we've had and try to pattern it around that. Like, we wasn't drilling for oil and coal and things of that nature when we had an ice age. So, like, we've always had this climate change. And like they said, Earth typically has gradual change over a long period of time. But now they say that the climate is just changing rapidly and not gradually. You know, but we've always experienced climate change. And we made it through an ice age. And, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, the only thing I hate about climate change activists is when I ever hear anything out of their mouth like climate control. then it's just mankind trying to dictate every fucking thing on this planet like we already do. And everything can't be dictated. You can't dictate weather patterns. You can't dictate tornadoes, hurricanes, heat waves, rain, thunderstorms, lightning storm. You can't dictate these things. We do things that probably, I'm not going to even say probably, we do things that I know affect them. I know affects weather, but this idea that we could just totally control it, did anybody control an ice age? No. And what truly caused that? Was it not like emissions of carbon dioxide or something, or carbon dioxide or whatever? Like, what was it? It was definitely something in the atmosphere that was too much of something or too little of something, you know? So, and that's the thing. Like, they say that Antarctica was free of ice at one point. So maybe we're just going back in, excuse me, maybe we're just going back into a recycling of weather patterns where Antarctica will be free of ice again. Maybe we're just going into that historical weather pattern. And then maybe somewhere down the line, you know, we go into another ice age. Who knows? But this idea that we could totally can control it is bogus. And as far as AOC, nobody wants to go to the movies and see a documentary. Like, I could imagine, like, asking some chick, hey, yo, you want to go to the movies and see this documentary? No, she want to go see a action movie or a comedy movie or probably a drama movie, you know? Because women love drama. We know that much. We know they love drama. And everybody loves to laugh. Everybody loves to laugh. And I think men are real big on action, but I think everybody's big on action too. Nothing like a good action movie. Yeah, so I don't know what AOC was expecting. Like all the climate change activists to just come out the woodworks and declare that this is the greatest documentary ever. No, like, they're already naive on the reality of the situation. We don't control the laws of nature. Climate is part of laws of nature. We don't get to control it. Yes, we do things that affect it, but we don't control it. And I don't know, we might be at a point now that where nothing we could do could really reverse it. That's the thing. People have this idea that we can reverse it. I think that's like fairy tales, imaginary. Like, it's not realistic. We can't reverse what we've already done. You know? It's like we can't change the history. We can't change the past, the mistakes that society has made as a whole. They've made those mistakes. All we could do is learn from them and try to not make those mistakes again and be better than the people that made those mistakes. But you can't do that nowadays because nowadays, you know, like I posted on Facebook, like we all make mistakes when you're young, but nowadays we're villainized by hypocrites with double standards for any mistake you made. You know, look, like the Jerry Jones thing, you know, you made a mistake when you were 14 years old, but you're villainized when you're 70 something. It doesn't matter what we do now. We're all going to be villainized by hypocrites with double standards. Once again, I thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm